T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Stands tall, going deep, it's a touchdown, Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas Jr. We will get Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports in just a few moments, and then he will tell us how he has Brian Thomas Jr. falling all the way down to 28. That would be a really great scenario for the Bills. I agree with you, Dio. I just don't know if they could do that. Now, the other scenario, we've talked about trade up. There's a report they're trying to trade up. Walter Football was on that. Trading down, too, is a scenario where I thought I saw Seth Walder talk about this. I'm fine if they want to trade down and grab a Xavier Leggett, a Ladd McConkey, and a Ricky Pearsall. There are a lot of options, right? That's what I love about this type of really kind of good conundrum, I guess, because you almost can't go wrong if you grab one of these guys. Mm-hmm. The question is how you do it with the value. This is about value now.
Yep. The value, too, like I saw that from Seth Walder. Like, it would be optimal. Move down to 35. Look at Leggett could still be there, and it has a good chance of still being there. I do not mind trading down. I mind trading down if I don't get a third-round pick. What do I need another day three pick for? Right. I've already got 9 of them. I already have questions of whether 10 rookies are going to make the active roster. If I add a fourth, I don't know. I feel like I've already got multiple fourths. I've got multiple fifths. I don't see the need for it unless it's a third. If you get a third, which you don't have, then I do think that would sound like a good idea.
Joining us now on the Wester Hotline, Ryan Wilson of CBS and CBSSports.com. He has a mock draft up, which I think is a dream scenario for the Bills, and that is for Brian Thomas Jr. to fall all the way down to 28, and the Bills grab him right there. Good morning, Ryan. It's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. I'm right down the street, by the way. I'm in Connecticut now for work, but I live in Syracuse, so I'll wave at you guys next time I drive by.
Nice.
I love it. Well, maybe finally, Ryan, over the next few years, we can talk about some Syracuse prospects in the draft again. It's been a little while since we've been able to do that. But I really like what Coach Brown is doing and some of the talent he's bringing in. In the meantime, all right, so you know, these exercises, these mock drafts, you do your mock draft, I do one. Sometimes, especially locally, you can kind of get yourself to a guy you want to get to, right? You're not doing that here. You're trying to do the best you can for every team and their pick. And yet you have Brian Thomas Jr. down at 28. We're debating how likely that could be, but I guess it is likely. Tell us a little bit about your thought process for him to actually be available at 28 for the Bills.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised too. This was what I would do if I were making the picks for all 32 selections in the first round. And by the time I got to 28, I was surprised to see Brian Thomas Jr. still there. But he just fell because they're going to be needs a quarterback. The top three wide receivers are going to go probably top 10 to 12. And then you start to get that run on the defensive side of the ball, the edge rushers, Byron Murphy, and maybe even Johnny Newton slipping their defensive tackle, and then all the cornerbacks. And then by the time you get to 25, 26, 27, those teams, if Arizona already has their wide receiver 4, they're not a team to worry about at 27. And there is Brian Thomas Jr. sitting right there. And the interesting thing about Brian Thomas Jr., I'm sure you guys have talked about him a lot, is that right now he's a vertical threat. He's, running the 4.3s. He's an enormous target. He's more dynamic than Gabe Davis was when he was in Buffalo. And he has huge amounts of upside with the athleticism. He's just oozing potential. He doesn't run a lot of short and intermediate routes, and, you know, that's something obviously he can get better at. But I think right away he comes in as just a home run threat, whether it's deep ball with Josh Allen or red zone capability. Is he going to be there at 28? It feels like a stretch because, again, this is what I would do. But the other thing is the wide receivers last year didn't start going off the board till 20, and then they went four in a row. Now, this class is much deeper at the top than last year's class. But if I had to put odds on this or percentage chance, I think Brian Thomas is there. It's probably less than 40%, but, you know, there's still an opportunity for that to actually happen. But it does feel like sort of a long shot, given how there are some needs above that. Perhaps the Jets, for example, instead of taking Brock Bowers, maybe they go with a wide receiver. But so a couple things have to fall into place for Buffalo. And, you know, perhaps there's a chance of Brian Thomas Jr. sitting there.
Does him falling maybe also have to have one of the other top receivers go higher than expected, whether that's Mitchell or I think Worthy's being mocked more and more higher, because I just said this, Ryan, last segment, that all it takes is one GM to fall in love with a guy who broke the combine record, and suddenly he's going 10 picks higher than we all thought.
Yeah, when I talk to teams, they like Xavier Worthy a little more than media folks do. And by that, I mean he's probably going to crack the first round. And to your point, a 4-2-1, that gets your attention. And you talk about John Ross previously having the record. He's a completely different player, Xavier Worthy is, than John Ross. He's, for 165, he is incredibly tough. He can bounce off tackles. He can actually run through arm tackles. He had some focus drops last year. But those aren't concerning for me. I think he's he can be special. And again, when you're causing this sort of havoc, wreaking this sort of havoc in the secondary with that blinding speed that Xavier Worthy brings, that makes an offense like Buffalo that much more dynamic. And, you know, you can say, well, maybe he's not worth the first round pick. And then I always come back, well, let's see what he looks like on the 49ers or on the Chiefs. And let's come back and revisit that conversation because, you know, let me talk about the quarterback. Fit matters. And what Xavier Worthy possesses, very few people and no one in the history of the NFL combine possess that sort of speed. And yes, he's undersized, but I think, like I said, he plays like he's 20, 25 pounds heavier than what we saw when he stepped on the scale and was 165.
Ryan, he's the guy I have in my mock going to the Bills, Xavier Worthy, that is, at 28, because I keep having this voice, these voices in the back of my head whenever I do this, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott continually talking about explosive plays and rack all offseason. That's what they talked about. We need explosive plays. We need rack. And Sean McDermott talking about how defenses have changed to, yeah, if you can beat them over the top, great. But you know what? Get the ball to your playmakers because they're allowing you to do that underneath. And look, and the guy's also a punt returner, one of the best in college football. They need something like that. All right, but let's say it's not Worthy. Give me another guy, a receiver, who would fit the mold of, you know what? You can get explosive plays from this guy, good with the ball in his hands. Maybe you don't have to take him at 28, but he would fit the Bills' offense from that standpoint.
Yeah, so A.D. Mitchell is going to be, I'm sure you guys talk about him a lot as well. Xavier's teammate out of Texas. He's physically, he looks a lot like Brian Thomas Jr. I think he's a little more dynamic as a route runner right now. And he's also a 4-3 guy. I think it feels like all these guys are 4-3 guys at this point.
Yeah.
Huge target, and, you know, he can make plays down the field, contest the catch situations, but he can run those short and intermediate routes with a little more wiggle than Brian Thomas Jr. currently does, just because he wasn't asked to do it a lot. And the other name that I keep going back to, and it's funny you mentioned Xavier Worthy as just speed kills, I love Ladd McConkey. He is the best route runner in this class. I was talking to wide receivers coach the other day about how good he is in small areas and how he can create separation. Just, again, you can line him up against anyone, and he's going to find ways to get open. It doesn't matter the route he's running. The issue is that he's under 6 feet. He's 189, so he weighed at the combine. And he has an injury history. And the questions around the league, whether he's a slot-only guy, I don't think he is. I've seen him on the outside stack defensive backs in the SEC consistently at find ways to get open on vertical routes. And you talk about runaway speed, you know, you throw these sort of runaway routes, whether it's overs or deep posts or whatever, and then he gets underneath it, and that's a wrap. You're not going to catch him. And I think in that offense in Buffalo with someone like Josh Allen, able to get him the ball from all sorts of arm angles and you know, various points in the play, whether it breaks down or whether it's on time, it just feels like he's going to hit the ground running. Because with the Brian Thomas Jr., you're helping him grow into what it means to be an NFL wide receiver and do all the things that NFL wide receivers need to do. With Ladd McConkey, you're just saying, oh, go out there and do what you did in Georgia, and we should be in pretty good shape.
Is Diggs a good comparison for him, for McConkey? Like, maybe even not, doesn't have to be as good as Diggs, but I don't know, just the way, the route tree stuff and getting open and when Diggs was younger, especially, he had more vertical speed. Like, is that close for a good comparison?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think Diggs maybe ran through a little fewer more arm tackles. My comp for Ladd when I was watching him in the fall, Emmanuel Sanders kept coming to mind, and I think.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Stephon's probably a little bit bigger than Emmanuel, and probably Ladd too, but they're close. And I think if you're getting that sort of dynamism, and I think that's what Ladd brings, after moving on from Stephon Diggs, it's not going to be an upgrade over Stephon Diggs because we know who Stephon Diggs is, even if his game isn't what it once was 2 or 3 years ago or whatever. But I think Ladd has a chance to step right in. Like I said, you know, you talk about the 49ers offense and the Chiefs offense, the Bills offense is right there too. You put someone in that offense and suddenly things start to click. And, you know, we talk about this with Josh when Stephon first arrived, and you can talk about it with Tua and Tyreek or Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. When you get a big play wide receiver, it helps your franchise quarterback elevate his game as well. Everything's not on him. So in terms of ready to play right now, Ladd is my favorite, unless, you know, somehow Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 28. But the other guys, you're banking on the productivity and the size and the speed and all the things that, you know, made your heart stop when you watched them last fall in college.
Ryan Wilson, by the way, CBS Sports, joining us on the Wester Hotline. There's been a lot of smoke about the Bills maybe looking to trade up, and I do think that that's very possible. In fact, I think it's most likely scenario that they actually trade up. Brandon Bean has a history of it. 4 out of the last 6 drafts, he's traded up to get his guy, including last year with Dalton Kincaid. All right, the dream guy would be Rome Odunze. That would take a Julio Jones type of trade, as we know, from 2011 when they moved up to get Julio. But what is the... what is the lowest he would go? Like, from what you're hearing, talking with teams, how much could he possibly fall where the Bills finally say, we got to do it and strike? What's the floor for him?
If he gets outside of the top 10, I'll be pretty surprised. I've heard the Jets are leaning offensive tackle as we sit here right now, so maybe they're not going to be in on the Roma dudes that brought Bowers thing. But I think a team at 8, the Falcons could trade out of 8, and the team could come up and get Rome there. The Bears are going to consider Rome. I know they're thinking either defense or perhaps a wide receiver there after they take Caleb. So if he gets to 9 and the Bears don't take him, then I think you need to fire up the trade machine, because I wouldn't feel comfortable waiting too much longer, because by that point I would imagine the Vikings will be gone out of 11 to move up for their quarterback. The same could be the case with the Denver Broncos. And then you're starting to play with fire if you're thinking 14, 15, 16. Because I think a team either just in front of or maybe just behind the Bills might think about having those same conversations with Rome Odunze. So it feels like 8, 9, 10 is the sweet spot, and that's where you might want to make your move.
Ryan, so you got anything else on the Bills before we do anything on the rest of the draft and ask Ryan a couple questions?
If they were to trade down to round 2, Ryan, like, is there, let's assume, like, your mock had Thomas gone, of course, by round 1, McConkie and Mitchell. Coleman, I think you had early in round 2. The Colemans, the Legettes, like, what do you like for them if they were to move down, try to get a third round pick, say, like, 10, 15 spots in the second round? Like, do you still like what would be available to them at receiver?
Yeah, and you mentioned Keon Coleman. I don't know if he goes as high as 33. He ran that 4.61 at the combine, but he plays a lot faster than that. And I was talking to some folks in the league about him, and they said, number one, he just turned 21, like maybe a month ago. Number two, he's a basketball player, hasn't played a lot of football. Number three, if you go back and watch the Michigan State tape before he transferred to Florida State, he runs NFL-style routes there. He wasn't asked to do that at Florida State. And in watching those, you see that he has the ability to get open. create separation, which was a concern with him because he's a huge target. And I think he provides some of that Gabe Davis-like playmaking ability. I don't think he's a number one, at least right away, but he's an option there. Ricky Pearsall is getting a late push here, but he's a really good route runner. He ran 4.41. I didn't think he played quite that fast, but he has the ability to get open on the short intermediate routes and have these runaway routes. And then someone like Roman Wilson, perhaps he's too close to Khalil Shakir, but he's a slot guy who plays bigger than his 5'10 frame. And then if the ball's in his hands, it's over. Like, you're not going to catch him. Those are some options there. I think Xavier Legette, the concern when you talk to teams about Xavier is that he's a one-year productivity guy. So you want to make sure he can do it. I remember a couple of years ago, Jalin Hyatt, maybe it was even last year, Jalin Hyatt came out of Tennessee after that big year for Tennessee and didn't quite do as much as perhaps the Giants were hoping. Doesn't mean he won't, but just something to keep in mind when you talk about taking these guys top 30, top 40. But I think Xavier Legette, his size, his speed, his playmaking ability is certainly attractive, especially if you're talking round two instead of round one.
All right, Ryan, it looks like and feels like it's going to be Williams, then Daniels, the top two guys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Your mock reflects that. What happens after that? What are you comfortable kind of going with, if anything at all? How many different scenarios are there from Drake May at number three to somebody coming up and the Patriots moving down, number five, the Vikings? Like, what starts to happen at quarterback after that, do you think?
I'm very uncomfortable after the first two picks in terms of trying to predict what's going to happen. I think that the Vikings are going to make a real move to try to get to three because I think they like Drake better than J.J. McCarthy. And then if they get three, are the Patriots just punting on quarterbacks this year? Are they going to try to stockpile picks and rebuild the roster and revisit quarterback later? And then at four, I think there's an opportunity for another team to trade up, whether it's Denver or some other team, to come up and get J.J. McCarthy. So we could have a situation where four quarterbacks are the first four picks. And it's incredibly exciting now, but then you think back a few years, you know, Mac Jones is now in Jacksonville. Zach Wilson's just been traded to Denver. So it's hope springs eternal, but the reality is that these guys, probably half of them will maybe work out. And then after that, we'll see. I think there may be a lull as other players get picked. And then I think Michael Penix Jr. is going to get drafted in the first round. He's just too good not to. I've talked to teams that think he's a second-round pick, and you know the qualifier is that's great value. And I'm like, well, that's great value. Just take him in the first round because we know what he can do pushing the ball down the field. But maybe he's a middle to bottom of the first half quarterback. And then the question becomes, who's looking at him? Is that a situation where the Patriots are interested in taking him in the middle of the first round, or maybe a sleeper team? I've heard the Seahawks have been sniffing around Michael Penix Jr., whose offensive staff, part of it, is in Seattle now from Washington. So this is going to be a fun draft because there's so many unknowns and there's so many good players where in years past we've had a handful of good players and a lot of questions where it's just like there's a ton of guys here that could help these teams right away.
I have the Broncos and Raiders at 12 and 13, one or the other, Ryan, going Penix and Nix. I just don't know which one. It would feel like Penix would be first, but I feel like both those teams might really want a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Jane Daniels wants to play in Vegas from what I've heard and what's been reported. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't think that's feasible just in terms of the lack of draft capital to move up. I don't know if Bo Nix is going to find his way into the first round. I've heard mostly second, third round grades when I've talked to teams about him. But, you know, we just talked about it. It only takes one. If you're talking Xavier Worthy or Bo Nix, do you have a chance to get drafted in the first round if the team really likes you? And I do wonder what Vegas does if they don't get a quarterback, right? Because now you're in a division where if Denver gets J.J. McCarthy, all the other teams in that division have either franchise quarterbacks or a rookie first rounder that they like a lot, and you have Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, and it's sort of hard to compete like that. So they have to figure that out as well, because maybe that informs their decision to how much they want to give up. But they really love Jaden Daniels, but I don't know on what planet they're going from 13 to 2, because from what I understand, Washington is all in on Jaden.
All right, Ryan, awesome stuff. We really appreciate it. I think the Bills fans would be very, very happy if your mock draft came to fruition. CBS Sports, you can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson CBS. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Ryan Wilson right there from, as he said, just down the street. Is Syracuse just down the street, Joe?
Yeah.
When he said just down the street, I thought maybe he was talking like the Elmwood Village.
I was also expecting that, but that's fine. That's fine. It's down the street, just a couple hours.
One street, right? The 90. All right, We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. When we come back, after a brief timeout after that, we're going to have Ryan Novosinski. He covers the New Jersey Devils for the Star-Ledger, New Jersey. We'll talk about Lindy Ruff. Yesterday's press conference, Paul Hamilton joins us at 11:30. Still got a little bit to get to here, though, in the first hour in the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.